First Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 18, going through verse 21. We started with this last week as we got into this study on the prophecies of Jesus. We read this: "For you know that you were redeemed from your empty way of life inherited from your fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of times for you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I thank you that we can come together as a church family and study it. Lord, I pray that you'll teach us through it. Lord, as we look at the prophecies in the Old Testament of your coming, of the sending of Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray that you'll teach us today, that you'll challenge us today, that we won't just read these and then walk out the door the same, but Lord, that you will change us, Holy Spirit. We thank you so much that we can join together each week to worship you, to dig into your word. And we pray that this won't just be a tradition that we do, but Lord, this will be something that we desire and crave for because we want to know you more, Lord. We want to walk out these doors and we want to make you known in this world. And so guide us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We started out with this passage last week, 1 Peter 1, 18 through 21, looking at the fact that Christ has redeemed us from our empty way of life, that we were purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ, those who have put their faith in Jesus alone. And it says this: "He was chosen before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of times for you." And so Jesus was chosen before this world was created for me and for you. Before the foundations were laid, Jesus was chosen because God knew that man would fall. And so then God created the world. And then what happened? Man fell. Man disobeyed God and fell away from God. And so there's this void between us and God, this void of sin. And so God planned from the beginning of time, before the foundation, that he would send his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. And he revealed this plan throughout the Old Testament. We talked last week how there is over 350 prophecies of Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, prophecies of the Messiah to come that Jesus fulfills. But there's over 350 of them. We started walking through some of these last week. 350 plus prophecies. That's a lot of them. You know, when you start to think about which ones do we even dig into, which ones do we even look at of these 350, it's a lot like when I started working construction after I graduated college. In between the year I graduated and the year I started full-time ministry, I was part-time in ministry plus working construction for a underground construction company, and I laid gas lines. And so during this time, I worked in downtown Detroit and some of the neighborhoods of downtown Detroit. And there's this really kind of hard part to working in Detroit. And it's not the environment necessarily, okay? It's the ground. The ground in Detroit, when you go to dig a hole, is very, very hard to dig a hole through, because what they did, instead of tearing out homes and moving this rubble away, they would take the home and tumble it into a hole and then build another house. And so every single time you go to dig a hole, you're digging into an existing, well, a previously existing home. And so the first day that we got into a neighborhood, the foreman said to me, okay, he walked me up to the gas meter and he said, "Dig a hole here." And I thought, no problem. I can dig a hole. It's not that hard, right? And so you take your shovel and you go, clunk. Seriously? Clunk, 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 everywhere you go. And so you think, no, I'm digging on top of concrete. But you dig a little here and a little there, and you go a little bit deeper here and a little bit deeper there and a little bit deeper here, and you find that it's not concrete. It's giant chunks of concrete, not a flat slab, that have been tipped into and dug into and over throughout time. And so you go, how in the world am I going to dig a hole here? A little bit at a time. That's what you do. A little bit at a time. You dig the dirt out. You pry out that piece of concrete. You dig a little bit more dirt out. You pry out that piece of concrete. You dig a little bit more dirt out. You pry out that bottle that's in there. Over and over and over, you do this. We dug up railroad ties. We dug up the old pavement, the cobblestone pavement. You go and you start digging, and just roads of cobblestone underneath the existing road, underneath another road, underneath, and then under there, train tracks, and it's over and over and over. And there's these layers that you got to slowly dig through. And so as I came to these 350 something prophecies of Jesus, I go, okay, which ones do I do? Do I just go, that one? Well, not that one. No, not that one either. Well, we're going to walk through the life of Christ. And so what I'm doing is I'm taking the prophecies that talked about his birth, the prophecies that signified big moments that we know of, like that we celebrate during Christmas time, that we celebrate during Easter, and taking some of those and looking at the prophecies of the Old Testament and saying, okay, these are ones that you can connect to. These aren't obscure that you're going to have to really go, okay, I don't get that. But these are ones that you can really identify and connect to. And so that's what we're going to do. First Peter, before the passage we just read, says this. And I want to read 1 Peter 1:10-12 before we get into the prophecies of the Old Testament. And it says this, talking about the redemption that we just talked about a second ago, the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ through his blood, it says this, concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that would come to you searched and carefully investigated. They inquired into what time or what circumstance the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating when he testified in advance the message or advance the Masonic suffering in the glories that would follow. Pause there for a second. And so what they're saying is those who prophesied about the salvation that we know about really wanted to know more about it. They saw these prophecies. They knew these prophecies that God was speaking through them, and they wanted to know about this salvation. But they didn't exactly know when it was going to happen. They were just testifying to us what God led them to testify. But they wanted to know more about this. And so they started to carefully investigate it and inquire, okay, when is this going to happen? We want to know this salvation. It says this. This was revealed to them, and they were not serving themselves, but you. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you. And so these prophecies that we are reading throughout the Old Testament were not written to serve them, but who? But us. But all man who would come and learn from the gospel message. And so these prophecies were written within the Old Testament for us to learn and to bring an establishment of our faith and say, okay, this was promised from long ago. Here's the fulfillment of that promise. And so we can say we know for certain the salvation that we have in Christ. He goes on, these things have now been announced to you who through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Angels desire to look into these things. Even angels desire to know the salvation that we have in Jesus Christ. And so let's go ahead and let's jump into one or two or three of these, depending on how much time we have here, of these prophecies. If you would, turn with me to Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. If you hit Matthew, head left, and you will hit Malachi. One book. You don't have to go far left, just one book. Okay. Last book of the Old Testament. I'm going to give you a little bit of background for each of these books so that we can understand who wrote them a little bit better and exactly who they were written to and what was going on during this time period. I think this is important to understand. First of all, Malachi was a prophet in the day of Nehemiah, same time as Nehemiah. Malachi recorded this, but it is the word of the Lord. Malachi 1:1, it's not behind me, says this, an oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. So whose word is it? It's the Lord's word through Malachi to Israel. Okay, we get this. Now, Malachi was recorded or written down somewhere between 433 AD to 424 AD. That's 418 years or more before the birth of Christ, okay? So this was recorded 400 plus years before Jesus was born, okay? We understand that. The message was a message of judgment on the people. It was a message to a people that no longer listened to the word of the Lord. It was a message to turn back to him. It was a time full of hypocrisy. It was a time full of infidelity, divorce, false worship, arrogance, false sense of security within God. It was a time full of corrupt priests and more. And so you may hear some of those things and go, it's a lot like the time we live in today. And so this word came as a prophecy. And there's actually two prophecies that point to Jesus by pointing to a messenger who would proclaim Jesus, okay? So it points to John the Baptist as it points to Jesus. So Malachi 3 verses 1 through 3 says this, "See, I am going to send my messenger." My messenger is John the Baptist, okay? "I'm going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me," okay? The clearing the way is done by John the Baptist, and the before me is who? Jesus. The me is Jesus here. And then it goes on to clarify this a little bit more. "Then the Lord you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant you desire." And so the messenger of the covenant you desire is who? Jesus. He brings the new covenant in his blood. And we're going to look at those verses in a second. And so the messenger of the new covenant is Jesus. And it says this, "See, he is coming." The "he is coming" there is once again Jesus, says the Lord of hosts. "But who can endure the day of his coming? And who will be able to stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire and like cleansing lye." Lye is like a cleansing agent, a bleach type thing. "He will be like a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. Then they will present offerings to the Lord in righteousness." Okay? So this prophecy talks about my messenger who will clear the way. And then it talks about the one they're clearing the way for is the Messiah, me. And it says the messenger of the covenant talking about the Messiah in his coming talking about the Messiah, the one who's going to clean them, purify them, refine them. Going on, Micah chapter 4. Micah chapter 4, the very last words of the Old Testament. And what we have to remember is these were the last words proclaimed by God to his people. And then there was 400 years where God was silent. So these last words say this, verse 5 and verse 6. "Look, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes." Our great and awesome day of the Lord comes, "and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers. Otherwise, I will come and strike the land with a curse." We have a prepared person going and proclaiming the message of the Messiah. Now, the fulfillment of this is recorded in the book of Luke. And so Luke chapter 7, if you would turn there. Luke chapter 7, or you can follow up behind me. Luke chapter 7, verses 24 through 28. We're looking at really three different prophecies here, but they ultimately point to Jesus Christ here. We have the messenger who will be sent. Then we have the one who's called like Elijah, or I am sending you Elijah, the prophet, before the great and awesome day of the Lord. We have that section. It says he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children, that whole section there in 4, 5, and 6. And then we have the messenger of the covenant you desire, and that's the Messiah. So here we're going to look at these. We're going to break down these three. So number one, the fulfillment of the first, the messenger who will be sent before him, before the Messiah, is in Luke 7, verses 24 through 28. After John's messengers left, okay, he is Jesus, began to speak to the crowds about John. So Jesus is talking about John here. He says this, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swaying in the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft robes? Look, those who are splendidly dressed and live in luxury are in royal places. What did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and far more than a prophet. This is the one it is written about. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you. He will prepare your way before you. I tell you, among those born of women, no one is greater than John. But the least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." And so Jesus himself points out that John fulfills verse 1 of chapter 3 of Malachi here. Okay? So Jesus points to these words exactly. There is one it is written about. And who is he saying? He's saying it is written about. He's quoting Malachi here. It is written about him. It says, "Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you." Almost word for word, the change there that Jesus does is instead of saying ahead of me or before me, he says ahead of you there, pointing to himself. Then we have the message from Gabriel to Zechariah, actually prior to this, but we're going in this order. Luke chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is Gabriel speaking to Zechariah, proclaiming that they would have a son. And Gabriel says, "He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to understanding of righteousness, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." The last words of the Old Testament, now proclaimed as the first message God sends to us in the New Testament here. These are, after 400 years of silence, Zechariah has been chosen by lot. This is something that would only happen one time, maybe in a priest's life. This was not a normal thing. With so many priests in so many regions, they would have one time that they would serve. And by chance of drawing the right straw or casting the right numbers or whatever it may be, he got chosen. It wasn't by chance. God made it happen. And as Zechariah goes in, God, after 400 years of silence, proclaims the exact words that close out the Old Testament. Words that he had read over and over and over throughout his lifetime are now proclaimed again. "He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn hearts of fathers to their children and the disobedient to understanding of the righteous, to make ready for the Lord a prepared people." And this is exactly what John did. He went out in the wilderness and he proclaimed a message of repentance because the kingdom of God is at hand. Those two fulfill the first actually, the first one fulfills verse 1 of chapter 3 of Malachi. Okay, the second one fulfills verses 5 and 6 of chapter 4. But it also mentioned this, the messenger of the covenant. And these are talking about Jesus. This is verse 1 of chapter 3 as well. That is fulfilled in Luke 22, verses 19 through 20. Luke 22, verse 19 through 20. It says this. This is Jesus at the Lord's Supper. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant established by my blood. It is shed for you." So the prophecy was the messenger of the covenant. Jesus proclaims the new covenant in his blood here. So we have the prophecy, three different ones, and the fulfillment of the prophecy, all from Malachi to the book of Luke here. There's a challenge here, I think, to us. Malachi was sent as a messenger. The word Malachi actually means my messenger. The name Malachi means my messenger. We, like Malachi, are messengers for God to this world. Malachi was proclaiming to a people that had rejected God, rejected God's word, a message of turn to him. This Christmas, we have the same exact responsibility as Malachi. Not just this Christmas, but every single day. We are sent as messengers for God to this world to proclaim a message of turn to him. He is your only hope. Turn to him. And that's what Malachi does here, and that's what Jesus does here as far as he's establishing the new covenant in his blood. Our only hope is in the blood of Jesus Christ, his sacrifice for our sins. And so a challenge from this prophecy is to be a messenger like Malachi. It wasn't received well, and it won't always be received well, but we need to be messengers for Jesus Christ. I want to look at another prophecy. And I believe this will probably be the only other one we get through today in Isaiah. If you turn to Isaiah. This one will feel a little bit more Christmassy for you. Isaiah. And I want to do the same thing we did last time. I want to establish who this message is from. Isaiah verse 1 and verse 2 says this of chapter 1, and I'm not going to read all the names because I'm really bad at reading names. But verse 2 says this. So chapter 1 says who it's from and who it's to. So it's to Isaiah, and then it lists his who's he's son of and who's reigning during that time. Chapter 2 or verse 2 of chapter 1 says this. "Listen, heavens, and pay attention, earth, for the Lord has spoken." And then it goes on to proclaim what the Lord has spoken. And so this message was, yes, recorded by Isaiah, but it is the word of the Lord. And so God is proclaiming to Isaiah. When did he write this? When did he record it? It was recorded between 740 and 680 BC. And so that's the time of ministry and recording. And so the book of Isaiah itself. That's 674 at a minimum years before Jesus, okay? 674 plus years before Jesus came to this earth. What's interesting is Isaiah is a message of salvation in the Lord alone. Actually, the meaning of the name Isaiah, salvation is of the Lord. And so the word Isaiah means salvation is of the Lord. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah as a whole is broken down actually just like the whole Bible is. The first 39 chapters, okay, are written to show man's need of salvation. It stresses God's righteousness, God's holiness, and God's justice. Okay? So that's the first 39 chapters, stressing the need of man's salvation. God's righteousness, holiness, and justice. How many books are in the Old Testament? 39 books in the Old Testament. Okay. So, chapter 40 through 66 stress God's provision for salvation. That's 27 books. How many books are in the New Testament? 27. There are 66 books in Isaiah. There are 66 books in the Bible. It's just kind of neat how the same focus is in the beginning of Isaiah of man's need for salvation as it is throughout the whole Old Testament. And then God's provision of salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's the end of Isaiah, pointing to that. And that's what the New Testament is all about. Things that people were dealing with during the time of Isaiah, moral depravity, political corruption, social injustice, and especially spiritual idolatry. Sound familiar? Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 is the message I want to focus on. And this will be the last one we focus on today. So we'll make it through two of the 350 plus today. We're not doing them all. Okay, Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. Therefore, I'll read it again. The Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, have a son, and name him Emmanuel. This is written 374 plus years before Jesus came to this earth as a baby. Fulfillment, Luke 1. Luke 1, verses 26 through 24. Or sorry, 26 through 34. Can't go backwards. Well, you could. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. Stressing this again, the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Rejoice, favored woman. The Lord is with you." But she was deeply troubled by this statement, wondering what kind of greeting this could be. Then the angel told her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son. And you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." Mary asked the angel, "How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?" The virgin will conceive, have a son. Okay? That's the first part of the prophecy. The second part is this: and name him Emmanuel. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son. They will name him Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. So Joseph got up from sleeping. He did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. We have the prophecy of the virgin birth, with the prophecy and proclamation of the name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That God would come, born of a virgin, for us. And he didn't come just for us to celebrate Christmas. He came for the purpose of dying on the cross, for me and for you. And so in the midst of a world that was all messed up, just like in Isaiah's day, just like in Malachi's day, we live in a world that is dealing with many of those same issues. Whose only hope is Jesus, just like them. And so as the prophets wrote out these prophecies that were proclaimed to them by God, and they wanted to know more about this, they wanted to know when these things were going to be fulfilled, as we talked about in 1 Peter. They looked with hope for the Messiah that would come. We have hope because the Messiah has come, and we know him to be Jesus. And we know the fulfillment of that. And we have the privilege to be messengers of the gospel to those around us, pointing to the hope that we have in the midst of this chaos of this world, that we have hope for salvation, for our sins to be blotted out, gone, cleansed, covered by the blood of Jesus. So as we read this, there's many things that we can learn about this example that Mary set in her submission to the Lord, this example that Joseph set in his submission to the Lord, Isaiah's submission to proclaim the message, Malachi's submission to proclaim the message to those around them. But we can also take comfort in the fact that God keeps his promises. And when God prophesied it was going to happen, it happened how he said it was going to happen. And so if you wonder, man, am I really forgiven? When God says it's going to happen, it happens. When he says you are saved by the blood of Christ, when you place your faith in him by grace through faith alone, then you are saved. And we can take great comfort in that. And we can know that our judgment that was due to us was placed on Jesus Christ on that cross. So if we believe in him, believing him is what we learn in Scripture when it says, by grace through faith, that's putting your belief in him, we will be saved. But if you really believe, you will repent. You will repent and follow him. Because when you really believe something, you act on that. You do. True belief is always acted upon. I've given that example of the chair 100 times. You believed that that chair would hold you when you sat down today, so what did you do? You acted upon it, you sat on it. You know it. Every single chair you sit on, you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to hold you, and so you sit down. And so may our belief in Jesus Christ be shown in our repentance and our following him. You are saved by grace through faith, but true faith is acted upon. Repent and follow him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for your word. Lord, I pray that as we read through these prophecies, Lord, that they won't just be neat little things that we learn from, But Lord, this is your word. This is your plan. That you would save a people. That you would save mankind and make it available for us to have salvation through the Messiah. This was your plan. Before the foundation of the world, you planned this. Lord, may we take great hope in your plan. Because we know Jesus. Because we know the Savior. And Lord, if there's someone here today that does not know you, maybe they've heard the story of Jesus over and over and over, or maybe they believe that you are the Savior, but they've never actually turned that belief into action. Lord, that today will be the day of salvation. Lord, we're not saved by action, but true belief will be acted upon. And so, Lord, help us to live for you. Help us to follow you. And Lord, if there's things in our life that we have taken control of, that we've chose our own way over your way, Lord, that we'll surrender those to you. And so, Lord, convict us of those, and may we be like Joseph and Mary and Isaiah and Malachi, and may we surrender to you, submitting to your will, being messengers of the hope in Jesus Christ to this world. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.